तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so then the Panchanga Nyaya, right? There's five elements where you're presenting your point, and then expanding on it, giving examples, concluding it, giving its connections, you know, amongst itself, the Sangati, or in the similar vein where you're making your presentation, doubts come up, their arguments, then your rebuttal of that, conclusions. So whichever aspect you're bringing out means either one of this line or that or any combination, then that's not that's not a difficulty. The main thing is that these elements are all included, right? So then here, okay, then now we've brought out the Adhikaranas, and we've shown how Srila Prabhupada makes the same point that this methodology, then this is what is standard. All the Acharyas use it, right? Because they're coming in the line of Vyasa, they follow Uttaramimamsa. So Vyasadeva himself is using this, so then anyone in his line then is also using this. Okay, various types of nigamana or sangati, like that. So supporting quotations from scriptures. Nigamana or sangati means agreement with the principal proposition of the work by the other parts of the work and the connection between the various sections. In other words, sangati or consistency shows that there is no conflict in what precedes and what follows. Otherwise, if someone's gives some presentation but it's not consistent, then it will not be very attractive. One will not be satisfied by it. So that sangati must be there between one point and another in the work, right? And then he's giving the point how Prabhupada's given this. That the thesis that is there, then the whole work has to be connected to that, right? It can't be something else. It has to be that. Otherwise, it's not the same work. Right? If it's a free flow, very popular in the 60s and the 70s. You just start writing, and you know, this free flow of consciousness, stream of consciousness, you know, like that. But that's nice if you're trying to taste and experience or that, but if you want to present something, logically present something, then this is important. Yes?
So what would be your definition of consistency?
Consistency, that whatever is there is some way connected to the principal point. Right? Like Prabhupada gives the example that Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, you know, that one is inquiring about Brahman, about the Supreme. So that is the main point that must be there. So anything must be given, everything must be given in connection with that. Your reasons about the Supreme, or the need to inquire, your examples, your conclusions, any doubts that you're dealing with will be doubts against the element of, you know, supremacy or Brahman, like materialists will say there is no Brahman, that impersonalists will say there's only Brahman, there's no transcendental person. You know, you wouldn't worry about, you know, whether you should use cumin seeds or coriander in the preparation. That's not this. That's not the main point of this work. Right? That's not the pratigya of this work. Right? So it's atato brahma jigyasa. So then everything must be in connection to that. Then you get a full picture of what is Brahman. Right? Does that make sense? So in the same way as that it should be consistent with the work. Because there's so many interesting points that one could make, but they should be consistent with the work and actually somehow or another bring it out. They should enhance it, otherwise it shouldn't just be loosely connected. Right? Anything interesting but loosely connected, you put in an appendix, you put somewhere else. Right? It's not in the main work. So then, okay. So now, Sangati is of three sorts, right? So these three sorts are going to be consistency within the work is called Shastra Sangati, right? Everything in the book is consistent with the main point of the book. Then consistency within the section is called Adhyaya Sangati, and consistency within the subsection is called Pada Sangati. So and we've already presented Panchanga Nyaya, that the Adhikarana or the theme is being presented, you know, correctly according to these five. Right, so that's going to be done properly. But now, why those adhikaranas are in that pada, that should be consistent. They should connect. They should have a natural flow. The points being made in that pada should naturally flow on from the one before and to the next one. Right? And those padas, they should be consistent in their presentation to the adhyayas, to the chapters. Those chapters are consistent with each other. And then, you know, back to the main work. Right? Does that make sense? Yes. Then you can say you have something that's very logically presented, very clear. Otherwise, then from one point to the next, if there's not a consistency, it breaks that flow of focus. And then someone will say, this is not logical. Or it's not interesting, it's not relevant. You know, something will be, the mind will reject it. You have lost the mind there. For example, oh yes.
It seems that Bhagavatam and Acharya's commentaries are Panchanga Nyaya is visible there. Everywhere.
Yes.
Like pervading the whole.
Yeah.
Like I was just yesterday paying attention to Vishwanath and Bhaktisiddhanta, and I saw that maybe not all of five of them, and they maybe.
No, they're there, but they'll just do them in a very unique way. Sometimes it's just a few words, like we showed there is that. Yeah. Before it said here, you know, just that it goes away, so it's like you're saying. It was in the previous. First section of Vedanta Sutra. The first one is Samanvaya, harmony. The second is dispel any doubts. The third is the devotional process, and the fourth is result of devotional process. So it didn't say sambandhavideya prayojana, right? But it dealt with, you know, bringing things together, and that means you're showing the relationship and how they connect. That's sambandha. That there's any doubts that are there, anything improper is clear. That's sambandha. You know, what should be done, what should not be done. That's sambandha. Establishing the field. Does that make sense? So they'll always do it. It's just a matter of how they've done it. You know? Because you have the element of also literary skill. Right? And due to that literary skill, then you may present it in a very simple way, or you might combine a few in one sentence. But if you know what you're looking for, all the information's there. It's just how it's presented. Here it's just very clear. You get like this, you know it's there. But if you go through, it's consistent.
Yeah, I saw when I was, they were just mixed. Sometimes the Siddhanta was at the beginning.
No, the Siddhanta, that's the theory, that's the thesis.
Or the thesis.
the thesis is the first one. Siddhanta will be having cleared everything, then you take that thesis and then how you apply it. Just like you say, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's your thesis. Your siddhanta is, therefore, you know, the living entity should surrender to the Supreme Lord at, because, you know, like that. You know, because he is the Supreme, not to demigods, not to any, just to the Supreme Lord. You know, or the living entity's worship should be to the Supreme Lord. You know what I'm saying? Because you're applying it. You're making it clear. Or if you're clear to doubt, then you restate it, you know, having absorbed the doubt. Does that make sense?
So can we say that the one spiritual gate of Bhagavatam is the thesis?
One?
Spiritual gate.
1328.
The page of second edition. Is it the thesis?
You'd have to look in the purport and see if it says that. I would say is that it would be more your Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, you know.
Guru Janaki is commenting that it's the Parivrasha Sutra.
Which one?
Itichamsa.
You could say that, but it's all based around, this presentation will be that of the Chaturshloki, because the book is an expansion of that. Yeah, I mean, it's establishing Krishna as the Supreme. So you could say, you know, like that. My point is, if the acharya is pointed out that way, then that's how it's used. You know what I'm saying? But the point is you got the Parivrasha Sutra, now what are you doing with the rest of it? You know what I'm saying? It's not just enough that, okay, we got the Parivrasha here, we got the Parivrasha there. We learned a word, and we figured out a couple of shlokas. You know what I'm saying? It has to be, now what are you going to do with it? You have to be able to now expand on this, you know, and give reasons for it, clear any doubts that anybody may have, and establish that if he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what's the conclusion? What are you going to do about it? Okay, 1328 is the Parivrasha Sutra. What are you going to do about it? You know what I'm saying? I've never heard that discussion. You know, I've heard guys, well, you know, what about this? Well, what's the Parivrasha Sutra? And so it's like, well, what do you know about that? Okay, you know Parivrasha. What about the other four parts of Panchanganyaya? You know what I'm saying? So one's presentation should also be consistent with one's knowledge. So one shouldn't be too strong on the Parivrasha Sutra if one doesn't know the other four parts that go along with it. Right? In other words, the thesis is, the hetu is your beginning of your discussion. So now if you have a particular sutra that embodies that, great. Like your Vedanta Sutra, Prabhupada said it's the first one. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the sutra saying Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. What does that do? Right? Vasudev is being worshipped. So that's what you're going to do with the knowledge of that he's the Supreme. Right. So then you can sit there, you have Brahman, and so of Brahman, then Bhagavan is the Supreme, and of Bhagavan, then Krishna is the Supreme. So then that way that becomes a very important point. Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea, is that there's a difference between memorizing something and living it. Right? So that's what we want to do, is if Krishna is the Supreme, why do we care about anything else? Why would we? So that means we only care about Krishna, and we only care about Bhagavan, and all other aspects are to get us to that. You know, so therefore we don't get too caught up in all the rules and directions, because we know that's to purify us and lead us to Bhagavan. Same time, because we're into Bhagavan, he is everything, that doesn't mean that we have an aversion to rules and regulations. Because the rules and regulations are Krishna also. May not be as pleasing, one can say, but is our position pleasing? You know what I'm saying? We're in the material world, we're conditioned, we can't say that's ideal. Oh, but you know, the rules aren't, you know, pure bhakti. But are you situated in pure bhakti? Is everything you do pure bhakti? If it's not, then that's a step up. You know? Like that. Does that make sense? We're saying this from the point that we have to, here we're trying to catch means that's one of the five. So now you can understand everything in the Bhagavatam will be supporting that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Right? And of all, it means, in other words, you have Godhead, but he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? It means of all the Vishnu forms, he's the top, he's the origin. Right? So then everything in the Bhagavatam will support that. So that makes it very nice. If the Acharyas have given that, that makes it very good for us. Because that's generally the easiest. Because these things are important, the Acharyas point them out. And just because, you know, we figure them out after, you know, 30 years, then, you know, so it's good. Like that, it's very nice. Is that answer? And when you present something, better to say, I have heard that 1.3.28 is the Paribhasha Sutra of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and that it establishes, you know, this is the main verse. Then we know what we are coming from, because otherwise we don't know if you're just looking for an example. It was just an arbitrary verse that you just happened to pick up. You could have picked any other verse. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't clearly present what angle you're coming from. You know, or even more clear is I heard from Bhurijan Prabhu that he said Vishwanath says that this is the Paribhasha Sutra. Right? And so is that the Hetu? Is that what you're talking about as thesis? And then he said, yes. You know what I'm saying? Then it becomes very clear.
I don't know whether it's the topic of it. I don't know whether it's Paribhasha or
okay. Okay, yeah. But how did you even hear about, why did you pick that one? In your own studies, you worked that out?
No, because I've listened to lectures of some Maharaj, like Bhajitita Maharaj, was saying that the whole topic of Bhagavatam is just sit around the Krishna.
Yes, so then you mention that someone else has said, because then we understand. Because otherwise it sounds like you said, so is this verse, you know, because it could have been, you know, why not another verse? You know what I'm saying? So we're not clear that it's been derived from a study, your study, someone else's study. You know, there's some reason to it. You know what I'm saying? Some authority to it. Because when you know that, then you come in from a different angle. Like that. Even if you end up at the same place, still the approach will be different. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's good. It means asking the question is good. But just make it exactly clear what your stand is, like that. Then you get a much more clear answer. Yeah. Like that. That's like when like in astrology when they deal with prashna. Many people who deal with it make you write down the question, because if you write it down, you have to think about it. Then, because you're focused, they can give you a proper answer. If you're not focused, they can't give you a proper answer. Right, so the better the focus, the clearer the answer. Is that okay? Okay. For example, as stated by Srila Prabhupada, Brahman is the main theme of Vedanta Sutra. Therefore, an interpretation of any passage, in order to fulfill the condition of Shastra Sangati, must not go away from the subject matter of Brahman. Secondarily, each adhyaya section has a particular topic of its own, and a passage must be interpreted consistently with the topic of that adhyaya. Right, like we were saying that they were dealing with the harmony, removing doubts, the process, and the result. So then everything in the first adhyaya must deal with harmony. Right? The second one, it must deal with doubts. The third one, it must deal with the process. Fourth, it must deal with the result. So then, and then the connection between the one and the next, right? This adhyaya, it will end in such a way that it opens for the next. Right? Does that make sense? Like Arjuna's talked about how he's not going to act. Krishna says he's a fool. He says you're not considering the spiritual. So then Arjuna then goes, okay, great, because he had already come to the conclusion he's not acting. And now he must be spiritual. He, Krishna didn't, he didn't get to understand that Krishna is saying you're a fool for not acting on the spiritual platform. He's taking it, you're just not considering things through a spiritual vision. So then he says, great, I'm going to go to the forest and contemplate the spiritual. And Krishna says, no, you're going to fight. He says, no, but I was just talking about fighting, you said I was a fool. Right? No, you're a fool for considering fighting without spiritual knowledge. Therefore he says, this is inconsistent. Right? Seems to be contradictory. That's the end of the one, it opens up the next chapter. Right? Then Krishna talks about karma yogi, how it's connected to the Supreme. Right? Which brings to the point of that it's connected through knowledge. Then the next chapter is that therefore the knowledge and that activity together, then that creates, you know, that then you're properly situated, right? Then we're bringing in proper. Then you can add one more to it, is that you're going to be focusing on some, means you may be focusing on the work, but there's always going to be some reason that you're doing this, right? One is that result is for yourself or for someone else. For yourself's not so good as if it's for someone else, and if it's for someone else, best is for the Supreme. So that then brings you to Dhyana Yoga. Who are you going to be thinking of? Right? Then you're thinking of the Supreme, then the next so many chapters are on the Supreme. You know, how do you identify Krishna? How can you see him in everything? You know, but same time as there's him as a person. Right? Right, because three chapters he's describing universal form, but then he also describes, you know, the Supreme Person. Right? Then that devotion to that Supreme Person. Does that make sense? So there's a natural flow from one to the next, but everything in that chapter is consistent with itself, and then there's the Sunday. Right? Similarly, there must be consistency within the points of the subsections, pada sangati. Besides these three sangatis, there must be a logical relationship between the adhikaranas themselves. One adhikarana leads to another through some particular association of ideas. In a pada, there are many adhikaranas, and they are not put together haphazardly. The sangati which binds one adhikarana with another is of six sorts. In other words, you're going to have so many themes that are being that are working in a logical order, right? Now, if it's like something like Vedanta Sutra, it'll go much more clearly in a logical fashion, you know, means seeming like intellectually logical. But if you're having a conversation, then you see is that sangati is a little bit more diverse, right? So then it becomes very important that these varieties of sangati is understood. So then you have here six kinds, akshepa or objection, right? You've made a point, then the objection comes up, right? So because of that, that's why now you're going to talk about something seemingly different, right? Or that's what makes a connection between the next point you're going to make, because someone's brought up their doubt, right? Then drishtanta or illustration. Now you've made a point, now you're going to illustrate it. You give some example, some analogy, something that will bring out the point. So that's how that got in there. Otherwise, where did that come from? Right? So just like you have the whole point of Puranjana, that's an analogy. Where did that come from? Right? Some say, oh, the Bhagavatam is just analogies. It's not real. Right? But that means the person saying doesn't understand logic. In other words, what their statement is not logical. Because that is there because of some point or question that was brought up before. Was that your one dying?
Yes, yeah, so I just turned it off.
Sorry. Okay. Slowly, slowly dying. Does that make sense? So something has been asked before, that now this analogy is being given. This illustration is being given. Right? Does that make sense? Because there's real people talking about real application of this philosophy. And then Paranjana is an example of how it's being applied by using an analogy, an illustration. Does that make sense? to take it, oh, it's just that, therefore the Vedic culture is not, you know, therefore you can do anything you want. That's not logical. That's not properly applying this. Okay. Then the next one, prati drishtanta, or counter illustration, is that someone else has given, they've had their doubt, they've given their illustration, now you give a counter to that. You know what I'm saying? So that'll be a connection. Or prasanga, or incidental illustration. Incidental, it'll be going along, it'll be on one topic, but because something's been mentioned in that topic. You know, how you say, you know, then, and so then Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know, dressed very nicely, he came into the assembly like that. So it's about something else to discuss, you know, the business of the day. So actually the point being made is the business of the day. And Yudhishthira Maharaj come in dressed nicely, that is just an ornament to that he's come into the court. Does that make sense? So then you ask a question, why was he dressed nicely? You know? Then you have to explain, no, the king must, you know, look proper and everything, otherwise how is anyone going to respect him? But it's not like a big ceremony, it's not ostentatious, otherwise it should be something very simple but very dignified. Like that. That gives the right, you know, that's there. Or it's going like, okay, that's nice, but why would he go to court? Like that. No, it's the duty of a king, he must go. So it's a tangent that's connected. So somehow or another in the conversation, then some tangent comes up. Like we're discussing Vritrasura, right? And so Vritrasura is going along, and then he asks, then it says, but how is this big demon more of a devotee than Indra, who is known as a devotee? So then the whole history of him comes in. So that would be your incidental. It just came up because of, in the conversation there was an interest. That's what I'm saying, when you're using your discussions or the mind or debates, then more of these are going to be connected. If you're just giving a logical point, you might not need to use so many. Because it says there are six types, it doesn't mean you have to use them. Right? But that the Sangati is connected properly within the work, from Adhikarana to Adhikarana, you know, from Pada to Pada, from Adhyaya to Adhyaya, you know, that everything, that each Adhikarana, each Pada, and each Adhyaya is connected to the Shastra. That must be there. But now, which ones you use, how you use it, what kind of Sangati you use to do that. Does that make sense? That's, then you have a variety. Then utpati, or introduction, is that you're introducing someone to some point they don't know about, you know, or that, you know, trying to explain, develop, you introduce something, so now you say, now we're going to discuss, now we've discussed about the body, now we, you know, health means in the beginning you say, you know, health is the proper balance between the body, mind, and words, right, and the nature of the soul. So when that is all balanced properly, then we call this health. So then, okay, we start with the body, then we get it. So now we've discussed the topics of the body, now we will discuss health of the mind. Right, so introduction. So health of the mind is of this many categories. This is how you identify it. This is what goes wrong. This is how you identify that. Then the elaborations and everything. Does that make sense? So then a connection is made, yes.
New term,
yeah. Because it mentioned before is that the Bhashya, and that it can define its own terms. Like that. Or how it's using a term that's used by someone else, or it can even introduce its own term and define it. And apavada, or exception. Right? Because there's a general rule that always applies, but there are exceptions. Right? And somebody might note that and say, oh, so therefore you could do this. No, 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 you can't do that. And then you start to explain the exception. Like that. you know, because of his maturity and devotional service, then he was, you know, wandering without, you know, worrying about any rule, any regulation, and just absorbed in thought of, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then it's like, oh, so when we become mature, we don't have to follow the rules? Right? You know, so no. It's that, you know, only those who are on the liberated platform or, you know, like that, they can do like this because we follow it to get to that platform. Does that make sense? Any questions on these?
Incident of frustration. Now, Peter will project it when Krishna explains the Dharma system and Arjuna asks after a big distance.
Yeah, that would be incidental. Yeah, it means it's not really important, but it's not against, it's not unimportant, but it wouldn't be necessarily, if you were going to make a presentation, that you would bring that out. But it was a point of interest. It says, you explained it to Vivasvam, but isn't he older than you? So therefore, and then you have to explain, no, that I first explained it to him, then it came down like that. And so then it's, oh, because he wasn't thinking of it in that way. So yeah, that would be incidental. It's nice things, it's very nice elements. But, yeah. Something else? Okay. The connection between Vastutraya, Nyasa, and Anubandha Chatushtaya. As established by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vedic knowledge fundamentally consists of three subjects, Vastutrayi, Sambandha, relationship, Abhideya process, and Prayojana, goal. Thus, according to this teaching, Panchanga Nyaya should also be categorized according to this principle. So in Sambandha, we have the Vishaya, the thesis, and the Shamshaya, doubt or hetu reasons. Then Abhideya is the Purva Paksha, the examples, alternative viewpoints, to further explanations. Prayojana then is the proper synthesis, correct conclusions, supporting quotations. Does that make sense? Your process is to establish it, right? So then means the process of establishing it. So to establish it, then first you have to have your thesis and what is the other person's doubt. With all that information, now you can discuss it, present it. Having presented it, then it should come to a conclusion, right? And it should show that this conclusion isn't just something that's here, it's also in other works as well. That makes some sense. Yeah. Anubandha, yes.
Couldn't be the Purva Paksha also categorized in Sambandha?
Purva Paksha.
I
would have a tendency to put it there also. See, because here is Shamshaya doubt. But see, because he's using these two that they kind of are a little bit off, but at the same time they're actually presenting the same thing. It's just which one they're bringing out. So then Purva Paksha means he's putting it into the third. Because that's where he's going to give his examples. That's where you're going to deal with it, right? In other words, you're going to make a statement. Then when you give reasons, that's going to raise a doubt. Then you're going to, having heard the doubt, you're going to start giving your examples to try to explain it. That's the same time that the opponent is going to give his full, like, thesis.
Yes.
Right? You know what I'm saying? So they go in there together, that they're technically in the same. So in one sense you could say it's there because that's where the discussion goes on. You're giving your examples, they're giving their antithesis. You know, you're giving them, therefore now you've taken it and synthesized it all together. So therefore it's all been brought together. And so then that's complete. Now it goes into a conclusion. Right? So that's why it's important, these various angles of vision, because then you can see what's the broadness of it. So it's like in these two definitions of the Panchanga Nyaya, they're basically describing slightly different approaches or angles of the same thing. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then, in that way, you try to find where they connect. Because then finding that, then it becomes, then it becomes very much more clear, right? Because their doubt's going to bring up the doubt. Because in the other one, the doubt is their thesis. Because there's only going to be minimal presented by them, and you're going to give the other thing. So their whole thing comes together, right? It means in one, it's like it combines your thesis and your reasons into one. Having done that, that will then generate a doubt, because that will be the order it comes. But in the when you're starting with Gotamas, then what Prabhupada was presenting is that you give your thesis, you give your reasons. But it's because of your reasons the doubt has come up. So in the where you're making where you're making your Vishaya, your statement, then it's, you just make a statement, and it's understood that that statement includes everything connected to it. Therefore, the doubt comes. So the order is there in the same order, but it's just that because of this, this comes up, or because of this, this comes up. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So. Is that clear? Okay. Then anubandha chatushtaya, sambandha, the relationship. Then your connection between the book and its subject, sambandha. Qualification of the person who may study the book, adhikari. Then the abhideya is the subject itself, right? Because that's actually what you're working with. It means you're studying it, you're learning it, all that. Because that's the abhideya in knowledge, is the study of it, or the practice of it. And the prayojana, what the reader will gain by reading the book and following the path it describes.
Does that make sense?
So then we can see is that we're always dealing with sambandha abhideya prayojana, but we're just dealing from different angles, depending upon the importance, why we're presenting it that way. Is that clear? Any other questions? Yeah.
I'm not sure.
You're not sure. You're not sure about your question. You're not sure if today is Thursday. What are you not sure about? Because that wasn't enough to actually be a thesis. Unless you're just presenting a general doubt. I doubt, therefore I am.
But I doubt many things, but maybe according what?
But you don't doubt that you have a doubt.
No. From which perspective, from which side I should put myself that I will be able to understand this, that sambandha is connection between the Buddha and subject, etc.
Sambandha.
I cannot put it in my, in the context of my understanding.
Which one?
This
anubandha jatushtaya.
Yeah.
The connection between the book and its subject, that's relationship, no? What's the relationship between the book and its subject? Right?
Yes.
Or the qualification of the person. In other words, the field of activities is being established in sambandha. Right? So here, the book, the subject matter, who can study it, who it's for, that's the field of activity.
Here the book will be based, subject will be based.
You have Vedanta Sutra, right, and its subject matter is Brahman. So that Brahman is being described in so many ways. So the book, the work, is the whole Vedanta Sutra. Right? The subject is the Supreme, is Brahman. Does that make sense? So therefore the book and its subject.
What does it mean by the connection exactly? This is an introduction to this topic. This is a...
You know, that it, I would say that it is connected. That is clear.
Then in that case, wouldn't it be the same thing as the subject?
Well, you have
itself?
The same as?
The subject, the Vishaya.
No, but this Vishaya means is the study of it. See, you have this thing, it's just like, if I describe that chanting Hare Krishna is the process for this age, is that Sambandha or Abhideya? It's Sambandha, because I'm describing, you know, what is a Yuga Dharma, or what is the Yuga Dharma. Abhideya is the practice of chanting the holy name. You understand? So that's why it becomes confusing, because there's a seeming overlap. Because the subject matter itself, when you're describing the importance of the subject matter, or its relevance, its authority, who should study it, where did it come from, how it's been handed down from generation, all this is Sambandha. And even if you say that, you know, the result of this, you will get this, that's still technically Sambandha. Getting the result is Prayojana. Actually studying it and practicing, that's Abhideya.
And how does that come out from the Anubandha Chitrashara?
Because the subject itself means what it is you will study. Means the other one is the subject in the book, but they're connected, and who can study that? Right? It's just like here. Dharma Shastra, right? You have Manu Samhita. So then they establish that, you know, the knowledge they're interested in, or the book itself, is about Varnashram. Mm-hmm. But what it is that they're interested in is its connection with the Supreme Lord. So therefore, the Lord in that. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So then your subject matter in the work. Because the work has so many aspects, but what is the central core point? You know, in other words, it's like the difference, it means the thesis and the presentation. You know what I'm saying? You have the thesis, which is the thesis, but then it's the same time as then there is the whole presentation that you'll use. Difficulty comes as English is not known for having exceptional vocabulary for describing the intricacies of the Sanskrit, you know, philosophy and culture. So sometimes it's just like if I say by the proper means, you know, you obtain your goal. And someone asks, what does means mean? You know? Does that make sense? So, what does means mean? You know what I'm saying? That's the difficulty.
Mean all the definitions.
Yeah. So it's that... that's even a third throwing it in. So then... we can try to find better words. That's why Prabhupada uses words like mellow. Because there isn't any proper word to define rasa. They don't have it. You know. But sometimes people have used mellow, though they don't use it now, but they've used it in the past, more when people are more articulate with the language. You know. Like that. Is that okay? Okay, I'll try to find some more clear words for it for tomorrow, and then tomorrow hopefully we'll be moving on to our next lesson, which will be the Tat Paryalingas. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini ki.